This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Michael Reagan, son of the late President Ronald Reagan, who would be turning 100 years old this weekend. Michael is also the author most recently of The New Reagan Revolution, How Ronald Reagan's Principles Can Restore America's Greatness. If you haven't already, please find the first half of this interview as we look back at Michael's fondest memories of his dad, both of his political career and in their personal life. And now we look forward to digging into the contents of the book and looking at how President Reagan's success politically might be able to help conservatives in the months and years ahead. And Michael, it's good to have you with us again.
Good to be with you.
The book, The New Reagan Revolution, talks a lot about, obviously, how the principles that your dad focused on could be very politically effective again. And for much of the book, you focus on the impromptu speech he made at the end of the 1976 convention, ultimately after he had been defeated for the nomination by President Ford, and that line about bold colors in the platform, not pastels. And at a time when it seems like most of the conventional wisdom suggests that people have to sprint towards the middle, your dad charted a different course, and ultimately the middle sprinted to him.
Yeah, they actually sprinted to him because he led. Right now we lack leadership in the United States of America. Let's face it, we just lack leadership. You know, everybody's, you know, floundering around looking for somebody to lead, and they're trying to find the next Ronald Reagan or whatever. And when everybody talked about bold colors, you know, let people know who we are. Be proud of who you are. You know, you don't need to back up. You just, you know, be proud of who you are and where you're going and what you're going to do and show other people how to get involved, you know, in the process. He also talked about, in that speech, he talked about being asked to write a letter to be put into a time capsule to be opened on the 300th anniversary of the United States of America. And he said, he really was concerned about that, the daunting task of writing to a people who would know everything about us, that we would know nothing of them. And he thought, do I write about the freedoms we enjoy today, knowing that if we do not make the right decisions today, they may very well not have the freedom to open up the time capsule to read the letter he's putting into it. And that's why the book starts there, because in reality, we're a third of the way into that letter, and we are losing our freedoms each and every day. And I worry that people will not have the freedom to open up that time capsule and read that letter. But I worry more about the freedoms that we are losing, that people don't even know that we have, and we don't educate people and what have you. So, hence, the base of the book is that speech, and we tear it apart, show people what they can do. And I will tell you, if you're running for office in the United States of America, or you're thinking of backing somebody running for office in any office, this book is a roadmap to what you really need to do.
Sounds like from the book that your dad would be very much in favor of the Tea Party movement and certainly the genuine political activism that came about as a result of people's very great frustrations with the actions of government. What would he be urging them to do from here, from this point to from where they've already gotten?
Well, I'll tell you what he'd be urging them to do. Understand that politics, now that you're in, politics is like a football field. You know, it's a 100-yard field. There's an end zone at either end. You know, you can go 10 yards in a cloud of dust. Keep on doing that, ultimately you'll get to the end zone. You know, today there are people who want to throw the 90 or the 100-yard touchdown pass, and if it's not complete, they go home. Politics is work. Find the areas of agreement and move forward from that position instead of moving backwards from areas of non-agreement. Ronald Reagan found good in everybody. It didn't matter who the person was, he found good in them. That's why he was able to accomplish so much, and that's why people ended up endearing themselves to him and loving him. I tell the story in the book about Alec Baldwin, who I walk out of 24-hour fitness with, and I go up to him, I say, Mr. Baldwin, my name is Mike Reagan. Jane Wyman's my mother. And he looks at me, and I said, well, I could have said Ronald Reagan was my dad, but I wanted to stay standing. And he kind of chuckled, and he said, you know something? I'm glad you came up and said hello. I said, why? He says, I miss your father. I want you to tell your family, I wish we had your father back. I said, but Alec, you disagree with everything my father stood for. He says, yes, I did. He says, you know, I'm so liberal, I bleed liberal blue. But what I realize now, I did not realize then, was your father had a good soul. And what this world is missing is that good soul. I haven't heard a Republican define Ronald Reagan like that. And it was Alec Baldwin who defined it and nailed it.
Well, your dad also talked about the matters of the soul when it came to confronting the Soviet Union, that it was a winnable confrontation, not one that just needed to be managed. Obviously, we're dealing with a different type of one now in the war on terror, one that your dad dealt with in the early stages. What do you think his advice, his approach would be in dealing with a very sinister, but in a lot of ways, different type of threat?
Well, as my father said, you know, he lived through four wars, none of which were started because America was too strong. And it isn't about friendships, it's about respect. right now, you know, the United States of America doesn't have respect of others in the world. And when you don't have respect, conflicts and problems do, in fact, happen. And I think some of the mistakes we make and have made in the past, both Democrat and Republican, since Ronald Reagan, is we think that every time we make a decision, we have to call the United Nations to get permission. It's like, I'm the President of the United States. Let me call the United Nations to see if I have permission to be the President of the United States. Sometimes you have to make decisions, and tough decisions, life and death decisions, as president. But that gains respect of others in the rest of the world. And that's what we need to be looking at. How do we get that respect back? Because the rest of the world can't afford America to fail. They can't. We are that last beacon of hope. We are that shining city on the hill. I know there's a whole lot of people out there who don't want to believe that, but they haven't traveled past the borders of the United States of America. When I was in Poland 2 years ago for the 20th anniversary of their independence, the President of the United States, Barack Obama, sent nobody to represent the United States. Nobody. Celebrating the 20th year of independence. He didn't even show up to the 20th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. He sent a videotape. You don't gain respect doing that. And when I was with the President of Poland, who died in that horrific plane crash a few months later, because I was his guest, him and his wife, and his people, they're looking at me saying, who's running your foreign policy? Why did your president take away our missile defense system? And I looked at him, you know, jokingly, I kind of gave him a wink, and I said, well, George Soros is running our foreign policy. And the president says, that's what we think. I mean, this is not gaining respect. We have no respect right now. This president's spending too much time trying to be a friend instead of being a leader. And the world needs leaders.
Last question from Michael Reagan. The new book is The New Reagan Revolution, How Ronald Reagan's Principles Can Restore America's Greatness. And Michael, I've seen that recently you've written about this last topic, and that's that a lot of people are now suggesting that the president, current president, Obama, has Reagan-esque qualities, and that he himself is actually studying your dad's career and is trying to use some of those ideas to mount his reelection campaign in 2012. I know you clearly disagree with what many people are trying to declare as close parallels between the two, but what do you make of those efforts?
Yeah, it seems everybody wants to quote Ronald Reagan, but none of them are quotable. Yeah, it's amazing that he's going back again to a real leader. I guess he didn't have any real leaders in his own party to look at. He didn't want to look at John Kennedy because he actually did lower taxes and have a strong defense. It is interesting to watch him play this game. Ronald Reagan, even though Barack Obama read the book A Role of a Lifetime by Luke Cannon, who's a great guy, it wasn't a role to Ronald Reagan. It was his life. This is who he was. And Barack Obama is not going to fool America and the world by playing a role of Ronald Reagan. He's got to lead. You can't play the role of a leader. You've got to lead. And Barack Obama is not a leader.
Michael, well, thank you very much for your time. We appreciated discussing the book with you and certainly looking back at your dad's amazing life and your great memories of him as we look forward to his 100th birthday. Thanks so much for your time today.
Hey, thank you.
Michael Reagan, again, the book, The New Reagan Revolution, How Ronald Reagan's Principles Can Restore America's Greatness. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.